What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of An Unexpected Podcast is brought to you by
Matt Carlo,
Stacey Baptista,
Josh Dalkey,
and Jake Bishop.
Thank you.
Shakes! Hello, friends, and welcome to An Unexpected Podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie, as Ruthie would say.
And we are talking Tolkien.
We're coming to you from the North Farthing in the beautiful state of Ohio.
This week, we wrap up our discussion of An Unexpected Journey. But before we dive into all of that, sweetie, how are you?
I'm really, really good. I'm in a good spirit because yesterday we went down and saw Lane and Sarah and the girls and Vigo, all the kids.
Right.
And I think we left around, 10 o'clock? Or even before 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we spent the entire day down in the Shire.
Yeah, it was cool. It was great. We were in the hammock.
Oh, yeah.
We were making...
We tried to sit in the hammock.
It was a ship on a sea. Mm. There were dolphins. There were sharks. Mm-hmm. And there were whales. Okay? And they were swimming underneath the hammock.
Yes.
So, by the way, this is a Trixie hammock. If you guys ever get a chance, there's a picture out there somewhere on our social media of it. Lane and I both, got our bottoms a little hurt trying to get on that thing. It's just such a, he actually told me beforehand as you go to sit on this thing that he had fallen and the girls laughed at him. They thought it was funny. I'm like, got it. And like slow motion sat down inch by inch. Life is a cinch. Yard by yard, life is too hard. And I got it. Inch by inch, I was going down, and it just totally lulled me in and said, gotcha. So I went down. I went down for the count.
That was cute.
It was fun.
There is something about just playing with kids, being in the moment. They bring you back to what's important right here is that storm when you're there on the hammock. Yeah. And we're basically the storm, and we represent the sharks, and it's like that playing time in the moment is like the most important thing right now.
Oh yeah.
And we brought
and they want it over and over and over, and it's
great.
You know, kids just want never ending, just let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah, and then this game we were watching the road, and with Winnie we played that game. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's guess the next color, the next car, what color would it be?
Right.
Yeah. And she went with orange the whole time. We were like, okay, yeah. Orange is pretty rare, so
right.
We might not see an orange car today. But she was like, no, the next one's going to be orange.
Yes, she was adamant.
And it was black. And the next one's going to be orange. And it was white.
Yeah.
And the next one's going to be orange.
Yeah.
And guess what?
She was...
There was an orange car.
I couldn't believe it. I really could not believe it.
It was amazing.
Little things. She just held out. She held out. She's like, nope, there's going to be one. And then, in an effort to kind of make everybody a winner, which we all are.
Oh, that was so cute.
She's like, let's hope for a rainbow car.
rainbow.
And we're like chanting for it and hoping for it. And I was just thinking, like, you know, after we saw the orange car, I'm like, why not at this point?
I know.
I was like, bless her heart, we're not going to get an orange car. You know, it's just sure. I mean, literally, I could not believe we got one, actually.
I know, me neither.
I was like, oh, man, this is like, they're so rare. We're not going to see an orange car. And I kid you guys not, within like, I don't know, we waited 8 minutes or 10 minutes or so.
Right.
And, we had silver. We had black, silver, black, silver, blue, you know, green, even gray, like all over the place. And then boom, orange came rolling down.
Yeah, it's cool. Just the magic of kids.
If we would have waited there long enough, we probably would have seen a rainbow.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So, yeah.
Yep.
That was cool. Also, so shout out to Lane and Sarah. Yeah, they had us down. It was awesome. We were there. It was a beautiful day. It was supposed to rain. We weren't sure if it was going to be, you know, what the weather was going to be like, but it ended up being awesome.
Yeah.
Some fun pictures of Lane and I out there working on our new ride, the riders of Helix. We were, that's on social media. Go check that out. Nice fun little post. But we were chilling out, and Lane made us some really good, you know, what did he make? We had
banana
guac.
Pie.
Banana pie. Yep.
Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Oh, yeah.
What was the olive? Like, it's like an olive dip.
Yeah, an olive dip. Yeah, like cheese. Really fancy things. Yeah. It was just so good.
It was really good. It was really good. We had a bit, you know, just sipping on some cold drinks. And we got some food at the Village later on. It was great. It was really nice. It was just really chill. We just got to relax. And I think just laying in that hammock, too, I was like, I could just stare.
Right.
Up at these trees forever, you know, the clouds. It was fun, too. We were sitting there and Charlotte and Winnie were up there with us. And Ruthie was kind of like eyeing us like, I don't know if that's safe. Right. I mean, she was staying with Daddy and stuff. But we were like there and like little kids do. They're pointing out the clouds.
Yeah.
Look at that cloud. What do you think that looks like? You ask them what do you think it looks like? And they were like, boom, one after the other. They knew what those clouds look like.
Right.
I was like, I was struggling to find an answer.
No.
They're like, nope, it's this.
Yeah.
Nope, it's this.
Yeah, they know.
And they know. And I'm like, wow.
And you can't say, like, you cannot say no, because to them it looks like that. Mm-hmm. It's non-negotiable.
And actually, after a while, I was like, yeah, that does look like a doggy's paw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The first one was like spot on. Yeah, anyway. So we had fun. We had a good time. And we got back today. We went a nice long drive down there yesterday, and then today we went on a nice long drive this morning. So we're just feeling good, you know, just feeling really good. And Lottie actually got me a little extra motivated. So because sometimes there's a lot to do at the end of the school year in life. I've been a little ambitious trying to do more stuff this upcoming summer. I'm over here actually moving my camera around. I think I just shoved my mic stand into your shot there. Sorry about that, sweetie. You know,
that's okay.
Anyway, so it's just been like kind of busy and crazy. So it was nice to just go down and relax. It's nice to have a reminder from you to just prioritize what is important.
That's a good thing to say. Yes, because that's what we talked about it all day long. Really, what is it that makes us feel sometimes like we're restless? We feel like we don't get enough done. You know, we always have things to do, and I know there's sometimes we feel like, we accomplished a lot this week and we worked out, we hit our goals. And then there's other weeks where you just feel like completely overwhelmed with things. You feel like you get nothing done. And then there's so many unexpected things coming up and other things getting pushed down the line. And it's all about, like, you feel like you never get anything done, really. And and looking at that full schedule, you're already unmotivated, because then you feel like you don't want to start anything.
Yeah.
And that makes you even less productive. It's just this whole circle. And it all comes down to, like, accepting at least, you know, that there is always going to be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And often we can do a lot more than we think.
Yeah, true.
We just have to kind of learn how to set priorities in life and really ask ourselves, where do I want to be, you know, in a year, what's really important to me, and then try to eliminate those little things that can just wait. And that's okay, and accept that we're all human.
So it's like a balancing act. Like this morning, naturally I wanted to just go on that drive to Granville. I wanted to drive down there, take you over to Newark, show you around, and that's what I wanted to do. You know, I had other stuff that I had set up as a priority to do, but what I wanted to do was to spend time with you and to go down there. And it was like, yeah, that's a good thing. And then I felt like this anxiousness that, well, I didn't get the stuff done that I that I set up for myself, mm-hmm. goals to kind of hit or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know what? But also that was a goal of mine to spend time with you. Like the ultimate goal and priority was to just find that quality time and stuff. So anyways, just kind of a balancing act. And it was really, just want to say thank you because, you know, you're just a good little motivator and help me, you know, with perspective and prioritizing, which is good. So needed that.
Thanks, you know. Sweetie.
Get yourself a rosy, guys. Let me tell you. Anyway, so we're good. You're feeling good. You're feeling motivated. All right, good. Let me think here for a second. So I mentioned we actually got some recording from Lane and Sarah, and mm-hmm. that's going to be coming up in the next episode, okay? So we actually talked to them about Lane kind of just we went on a little bit about the desolation of Smog. We even did a little Patreon crazy bit for you guys, just something fun that's a little scary. So
oh, yeah.
Definitely not for kids. it's more about nightmares and stuff. It's,
oh, yeah. I mean, Sarah and I, we could barely
listen
to it.
I had a nightmare, you know? And sometimes your nightmares can be, it's more like shadowy figures and stuff, and it's a little scary.
I know.
So, yeah, anyway, that's what that's about. But that'll be coming next week. That will be the plan there. We're gonna have that. This upcoming, I guess it'll be Saturday, it'll be May 21st, we're going to be doing The Desolation of Smog. And so we'll play that clip for you guys. Lane has thoughts on the film and even does a little recap on some things that he thought here in An Unexpected Journey. So we'll get that to you guys. Something to look forward to there. Just wanted to fill you in. So it's cool, right? You sat in on that conversation, and we had the blankets on the couch, and we were just kind of chilling out.
Oh, it was so cozy.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice. So, okay, now let's dive in. This episode might be a little bit shorter. We kind of, the second half, you know, the first episode, we kind of did talk about bits and pieces of the second part here.
Right.
But before we dive into that, I actually have an article, and Lottie doesn't even know that I'm going to pull this up yet. I don't think I've talked to her about this at all. But this was, so as this, let's see, we're recording on the 15th. This was yesterday.
Okay.
So May 14th, we had fans share their first verdicts on new Lord of the Rings TV series.
Ooh.
So fans of Lord of the Rings were given a special preview of the highly anticipated series, and it's safe to say they were excited. So if you go on Twitter and you type in the Rings of Power or first viewing or whatever it is, I don't know what all the search. Go find yourself some Tolkien creators out there. They were very pumped, and I think I only saw. So I kind of follow podcasts, and there's. You know, there's YouTube channels, there's people who just do stuff on TikTok and different things or whatever. It was the Prancing Pony podcast had gotten an invite to kind of, I think they met with the showrunners, talked with them, saw some of the behind the scenes stuff, really cool stuff. And those guys, I respect them. They've been around for a long time and they really have a good opinion on Tolkien. And everything, and so essentially their pitch on their social media was that we weren't going to just buy anything that they sold us, right? So they were like, we went in and we really tried to be like, you know, look at this and say, what do we think? You know, I mean, do we like it? We weren't going to just say we liked it because we got this special invite. You know how you kind of feel that pressure sometimes
right,
when you're invited to something?
Definitely.
And, yeah, you meet the creator and stuff, you know. I think there would be a pressure there. I mean, technically, I guess I have to say we weren't invited, so we don't know. We don't in particular know, but I can imagine that there would be. Sorry, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, it's like I feel like those guys were really honest, and they came out and they said, "Hey, we really liked it." They did even say that, you know, there might be some things that they were unsure of. I think was the word they used, or the phrase. And then they said that they want to see more. Again, they didn't see all of it; they just saw a piece of it. They said after meeting Payne and McKay, the showrunners, they felt really, really good.
Okay.
Like, really good. They felt like those guys really were taking care of the show and were doing things the right way and stuff. So
that's interesting.
Right?
Isn't that cool? It gives you a whole nother feeling when you meet those people who put all the work into that and what their thoughts behind it is. I mean, it, you know, a good movie, a good show should work on its own and you shouldn't have to do that, but it's kind of cool to think about it if you meet those people who put in all the work and the effort and they're, you know, seem to be inspiring personalities that helps maybe with the whole your whole picture in mind about the series.
So it actually had, let me see here, there was a couple somebody wrote Last week, I was invited by the At Loader on Prime folks, along with a bunch of other internet Tolkien fans, to attend an advanced screening of some footage from the hashtag Rings of Power show, and to meet the showrunners. I must say, after meeting them, I feel the show is in very good hands. We'll put a link for you guys in the description with that article. And then also here we have, like, this is Prancing Pony. So I'm just going to go ahead and give them a big shout out. You guys can go listen to their podcast and hear what they have to say. And I know a lot of you guys do listen to them. They've been around for, I think, about a year and a half or 2 years before Lane and I started. So they said, by now you've probably seen our reports from the Amazon Prime Video event we attended in London. You may also have seen the wide range of responses from people in our community, from positive to skeptical to downright insulting. We wanted to take a moment to address some of the latter. We understand that many folks are skeptical about the Lord of the Rings for a variety of reasons. Though we have tried to be cautiously optimistic, we nevertheless had our own questions about the show. We still have some questions, and by no means are we certain that the show will be all that we hoped it will be. But we are telling you, with our sincerest conviction and transparency, that after speaking to the showrunners, more so than watching the footage we were treated to, we were more optimistic about the series than we ever have been. We're excited to talk more about that soon. We are not easily taken in. We're both dads, we're both professionals, and are honestly too, quote, seasoned to be naive. We went out of our way to be objective, and we were legitimately impressed by what we saw. We hope that our 6+ years of commitment to producing the best Tolkien podcast we can has earned your trust in our integrity. If our hard work and dedication to our community all of these years has not earned your trust, then perhaps that says more about you than it does about us. Okay. So I don't know. You know, it sounds like there were maybe just some, I don't know, people questioning. What I read from that is, and from what I saw on Twitter, was that people might have been questioning some of these people, the content creators, like a podcast or a YouTube channel or these other creators who went and saw this, and when they came out and said, hey, it was good, or we like what we saw, or we were encouraged, they're like, really? You know, I don't know if that's the case, but like a lot of there was a lot of negative energy out and around this for a while, and there's people out there who are detractors or trying to hate, who are trying to do different things or whatever. So, you know, maybe that's just them kind of responding to some of that. But it's cool for me to hear them and others say that they were encouraged by what they saw, because they did. At first, they said it was more that it was the showrunners. The showrunners and speaking to them is what encouraged them the most, not necessarily what they saw. But then later on, they backed it up with, and also what we saw, too, was encouraging to some degree. But more so it was their talk with the showrunners.
Yeah, but that's absolutely, that gets me excited about the show again, because you're right, like, people see just the trailer and they say, oh, it looks too much CGI, we don't see this, we don't see that, or I don't know, a lot of voices just said, yeah, it looks terrible, or at least something negative, more negative feedback than positive. And I get where people are kind of, you know, trying to be careful about big public opinions. Who knows what, you know, they told them, or what kind of, I don't know, what they offered them to say that about the show. But I'm just always like, I hope people are not like that, and always give them benefit of the doubt. And if they say, no, that's our honest opinion, I'll trust that. And that's cool. Like you said, they're huge Tolkien fans. And if they say, we have a good feeling about this, like, yeah, I'm excited for the show.
Yeah. Wow. This is sorry, as I'm reading this. So Lane, and I talked to Lane just briefly about this yesterday. And I just sort of said, you know, kind of, you know, it's in passing. We're making food. We're talking. We're whatever. And I mentioned a few of these names. You know, you've got TikTok creators, but I mean, I'm going to leave another article down here for you guys. It's called thegamer.com. Now, again, these are people who are creators. They're not reporting or breaking any news necessarily. They're just commentating on these things. So you had some pretty big names, I guess. You had Sean Gunner, the chair of the Tolkien Society, Corey Olson, the Tolkien professor, along with his podcasting colleague, was there as well. You had representatives from Fellowship of Fans, the OneRing.net. Communities were present, as well as TikTokers, Don Marshall, the Prancing Pony podcast, and more. So, yeah, a diverse mix of Tolkien creatives, thinkers, and fans, and most of them came away from the event impressed. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a lot of different people with different views, different thoughts or whatever coming out of this saying, hey, we thought it was cool. We thought we liked it. I think I saw somewhere too that, well, here we go. I think we have a quote. So I want to share some of this with you guys. Mm-hmm. And if you guys have thoughts on this, you can reach out to me or reach out to our social media and talk with us about it. Cause this is fascinating. This is stuff that's coming up here in a few months. And
right.
It's just really cool. These folks got to go see this and talk about it. So let's see. It's Caitlin of the Tea with Tolkien blog, thought this. So because she hadn't really enjoyed the initial teaser trailer. So that was, I guess, something she was one of those people who hadn't really initially enjoyed that. She was more impressed by the extended clip that this group was shown. All right. However, quote, as I watched the footage, I began to feel immersed in Middle Earth in a way that I hadn't when watching the teaser trailer released earlier this year, she writes. Quote, there were moments of breathtaking high beauty, exhilarating heroism, and beautifully captured humanity, which evokes many of the same feelings I experienced when reading Tolkien for the first time. So there you go. I want to share some of those things because that's a positive. That's cool, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think Lane and I talked about, and we were talking about this just the other day, and I think it's even going to be in the next episode where we talked about, like, how do you bring the essence or the feel of Hobbits and bring back that Shire-like feel into all of this and these moments that were apparently seen by these folks. They felt like there was beautifully captured humanity. So that is pretty cool to hear these people saying that stuff.
Yeah. Incredible. And wouldn't it be so cool if all of a sudden everyone, when the show comes out, everyone was just blown away by how good it is? I mean, that would make me happy, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Me too. Because I think that teaser trailer, for some reason, got people in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who want to, they speak out about a series or a TV show or a movie or whatever. Sometimes you just have people who are looking for, I don't know, a company or a production group trying to push a different type of agenda or whatever, mm-hmm. and they get all mad. They get politic-y about certain things or whatever it is. But it sounds like, according to even the Tolkien professor, Corey Olson, and these guys said that when they sat down with the showrunners, they were very impressed by their knowledge, this is a quote, of the legendarium and Tolkien letters in particular. So, like, Tolkien wrote all these different letters and different sort of things to kind of fill in some gaps and to provide commentary on the world. And these guys, they know a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, they're really, really well studied in it. I mean, they run whole online courses for it and everything. So Lynn and I always joke, we're just a couple hobbits over here trying to enjoy the music and dance around and enjoy ourselves, right? They're over there studying away like the ancient texts, which is cool. We need those people. We all need each other, and I think it's really cool. So those guys have come out and really said that this is impressive. So there you go. There's your scoop from us, and my thoughts on it are that's awesome. I love it, and I'm really excited. This makes me feel good. If a lot of the content creators out there are feeling good about this, then that's cool. And plus, it's just more Lord of the Rings. For a lot of kids, this will be their first experience with Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
I say this in Star Wars all the time because when I was kind of – I had watched the originals first in Star Wars, and then I grew up with the prequels, a lot like your brother, okay?
Yeah.
And you have episode 1, 2, and 3, and you're just, like, stoked about that, right? And it's interesting now they're coming out with the Kenobi series and you've got like the actors are coming back and they're like, we didn't really hear from the kids. We didn't realize how much of the younger generation who weren't on social media, who were sitting there watching our episodes and our films on rerun over and over, fascinated with Star Wars. So I feel like this second age show, these Rings of Power, this show could be for a whole new generation, a gateway into the books and into the lore and whatever it is. I just feel like that's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
So, yeah.
And didn't Peter Jackson try to read the appendices and everything to incorporate stories and little things that were in The Hobbit only touched on? He wanted to expand it and include the appendices in the movie. And then that sometimes, you know, I'm sure he just tried his best, and I know there was a lot of stuff going on around this movie before it even, was produced and stuff. So I guess, like, he they tried to make the best of it, and it doesn't always work out, but he really tried to incorporate more Tolkien, and everyone always yells for, you know, like when a movie is pretty short. And I know in a lot of Harry Potter movies, a lot of fans are like, oh, I wish I had seen this, and I wish I had seen that.
Yeah.
And then you make a very long movie, and everyone says, like, this didn't make, like, you know, like, this didn't make sense, or this wasn't necessary, this doesn't add up to the
sure.
movie
yeah,
storyline, yeah. really. And yeah. yeah. I'm not saying, definitely the Lord of the Rings movies are so much better.
Yeah, they're great.
And I guess our you know, our theme always is to try and find why people did it the way they did it.
Yes. Look yeah. for the good in the project, right. look for their intent and all that. Because again, even for kids who were growing up when the Hobbit films were coming out or whatever, even though it's a few years removed in a way or whatever, that may have been the first time they saw it and they loved it. Right.
Yeah.
If he was only just adapting the Hobbit, is that just one film, or could you maybe do more with the time that was given to Peter mm-hmm. Jackson, which is what Gandalf tells us to do, mm-hmm. right? Where that's all we have yeah. control over. So he chose to do what he did, and like, it's fine. I think we're going to talk about more today.
Yeah,
I feel like it's cool. We have the books, we have all this different stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm actually glad that he threw yeah, a lot of it in there. I know it still irks people, but to me, I'm glad I got to see Radagast.
I know,
really glad about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and so. A lot of people said. They didn't like, they saw it was unnecessary and long, and you know, it didn't really add, like I said, to the story of the movie. But I thought it was cool to see him interact. I don't know, he always reminds me of Alice in Wonderland somehow.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, okay, here's something. I did some lore videos, and by the way, if you guys haven't had a chance, we were super close to getting 1,000 subscribers over on YouTube, so go check out our YouTube subscriber there for Lane and I, because we want to be able to go live during the show. We want to be able to do some fun events for you guys over there, and that'd be a blast. And we're also streaming live all of these watch parties too. So, but I did some lore stuff over there on the Second Age, and I was talking about the Blue Wizards, and I was talking about how this article that I'm even referring to right here, it says that they're going to introduce characters and events into Middle Earth that Tolkien never wrote about. And that's the nature of filling in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something they have to do, because there are so many gaps in the Second Age. There's just not really a lot of story there.
Yeah.
So if this group of Tolkien influencers trusted the showrunners, like they're going to take what they know about Tolkien. They're also referencing other people, and they're going to literally walk a character onto screen and tell you his backstory and tell you what happened. They're writing the story. They are writing brand yeah. new story. There is nothing that they have. There's a couple events they can adapt from, and like, this war happened, and here's the time when this king happened and this queen and so on. And mm-hmm. By the end, you have the fall of Numenor. More is known about the fall of Numenor, I think, than a lot of the middle parts or whatever. Yeah. It's just like, we know that it was created. Here's how it happened. Here's why. And then we know more about the forging of the rings and the elves and everything. But really, the events of Numenor are different and are kind of unknown, the specifics, I would say. And then you have mm-hmm. characters like these blue. Why in the world would you not want to tell a story about these wizards? You know, they've yeah. always kind of been, just like I said, this thing about Gandalf or Radagast, mm-hmm. okay? And I'm going to say something. Winnie, by the way, said something very powerful to Lane. It's coming up in the next episode. You guys can hear about that. And it's clutch to heroes in our story. And it has to do, just a hint, it has to do with wizardry, okay? It's all set. and it's wonderful and well articulated by her. But I feel like in this upcoming show, you have the opportunity to show us two more heroes, or maybe they go bad, or they go rogue, or were corrupted, or whatever it might be. But we might really have some empathy or something towards these characters. We don't know anything about them. We don't know what their struggle right. was. Did they make a sacrifice? Did one of them sacrifice themselves to kind of fall into mm-hmm. the dark arts to save someone else so that they could go on and do great things and yeah. great deeds or something? Like, we have no idea. And they could do all of that. I don't know if they're going to, if that's too far, if people want to call that blasphemy or whatever. It's so crazy, because whatever they do, people can say, well, Tolkien didn't blah, blah, blah. Sweetie, he didn't write like anything about it. Like, there's next to nothing on it.
Yeah.
So if it were the First Age, I'd kind of get it. You could say, well, that's kind of going deviating from this storyline mm-hmm. and that story arc. Like, there's just nothing there. It's a big, big gap. Lots of gaps. So the fact that these guys felt really good about what Tolkien does in terms of themes, and the Tolkien estate to some degree trusted them to go write this, to go out and write all new backstory and character. Because you can still have Elrond and all of his events that happened in the First Age, and Galadriel and her stuff in the First Age, but then what happened along the way? Did they just stay in some, you know, forest realm and then they never moved, or they fought in some war at this point? But what did they do before? What did they do, you know, during? Because we have all these, like, in The Lord of the Rings, we have such a short little time frame where we see great legends interacting and we see their day in and day out stuff, right? But in the Second Age, we have 3,000 years. What did they do in 2 weeks? Pick a 2-week sliver out of that and say,
goodness,
what did they do there? You know what I mean? You can tell that whole story.
That's actually a really good point. Like, I never thought about that way. But you're right. Like, so even in human history sometimes, you know, when you go through history, you talk about centuries most of the time, if not even, like, you know, thousands of years sometimes if you go even further back, and you summarize it somehow. And there's still always going to be so much lost on the way that we don't really talk about, we don't really know. And it's cool. It's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But wouldn't it be cool to just go back and see what people did for 2 weeks? Yeah, that's a cool point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what they do. I hope you guys are excited as well, and we'll at least give the show a chance. Come watch it with us. Give us your feelings, and you know, like, I oftentimes I think you have to watch the first episode, see the whole thing, start to finish. What did they do from the beginning to the end? They've had time to write into season two. I bet there's breadcrumbs that will kind of carry over into the second season. So I feel like you got to give shows time and give them a chance. Let them create to their, you know, let them get their full, right? They're like, finish the whole thing. Like, let's see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can critique it along the way. What do you like? What do you not like? Sure. But, like, don't, I don't know. I just wouldn't give up on it. I want to see, I want to see exactly what they can kind of pull off here. So, okay, there we go. Some Second Age Rings of Power news, commentary on the news.
That
whatever,
was cool.
Whatever. Yeah. Fun stuff.
About the other content creators and they got to see.
And
a
I'm excited
more.
For them. That's probably, they were probably losing their minds. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive into an unexpected journey here. We're talking through part two, just some of our bigger takeaways and just fun things that we kind of enjoyed about this. One of my things, so I'm starting around like 1 hour, 30 minutes. They're right in Rivendell. It's where we left them, right? Last time. And I was talking to Lane about this when we were down at his place yesterday. Brett McKenzie, who I can't remember the band, Flight of the Conchords or something like that, is the name of the band I think that he's in, kind of a comedy band. And he is the son of actor Peter McKenzie, who played Elendil in The Lord of the Rings. So it's just really kind of crazy. He's actually one of the was one of the elves here, and he has like a speaking role. He's from New Zealand, and you remember Lane was talking yesterday about all of the actors and the people who know somebody who's been in the Hobbit movies or in The Lord of the Rings.
The Kiwis, so,
it's really. Really cool. So I because I remember when I was watching this, I saw him, and then in the X-ray, it has sort of some cool kind of general trivia about him. So,
that's interesting. Yeah.
And cool. One of the things you liked, and we talked about this just a little bit, was Bilbo kind of walking around and looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what else did you do? You like Rivendell?
And, I do.
And you like the elves. You like the peacefulness, the calmness of it.
Yeah.
When they're sitting down, there's the girl who's playing the
the harp.
The harp or whatever. Oh my gosh. Bless her. I mean, she was, they're like making fun of her music and stuff. I'm like, guys,
I know.
Quit being so rude.
And the elves are losing it. She stops playing the harp and it's like, what?
Yeah,
like, they're all looking at them. What are they doing?
That's right.
Kind of grossed out.
Melanie Carrington is her name. Shout out to her. I love this X-ray feature. It shows you everything. all of the musicians. You can click on all of them and you can see who plays what. But yeah, she was doing a great job.
Yes.
And, yeah, I just thought it was cool. So the explanation of Elrond about Orcrist. So he's giving the Orcrist, like the sword, and Glamdring. This is when this is all happening, and they're kind of stomping up on the table and tossing stuff around or whatever.
Yeah.
But just kind of a funny thing. So Orcrist and Glamdring were forged in the First Age of Middle-earth. There we go, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and the fight against Morgoth. It's awesome. So just kind of a relic, one of those. That's something that the Rings of Power show is hoping to do is have a lot more First Age relics or something, or just things of items of power.
Okay.
You have the Rings of Power, right? Mm-hmm. But people are already speculating that they're going to be pulling in a lot of other things that might be, I don't know, kind of carried over from the First Age in some way.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Right. So, but yeah, so this whole bit is pretty neat. I remember when we were watching this, you were talking about the when we got to the part about the moon runes.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
That was something they added in the movie, right? That was not part of the book. I don't think it was.
I don't think so.
No. They because
how dare you ask me questions?
I'm so sorry, but I'm
about
I'm pretty
what's
sure,
in the book.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a book because it was not in the book because I think they already talked about the what the runes say in the beginning.
Yeah.
In the book. And I think that's just added to add in all the scenes at Rivendell really and kind of yeah.
Yeah, that like actually I had kind of a panic attack there. I had like a flashback to when I had this whole moment with I mentioned like this whole scene with Aragorn where he like is almost killed and dies in the movies or whatever. Uh-huh. And I was referencing it as if it was like in the books or whatever. Yeah. Totally not like not in the books.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny because you get so sort of now, wait a second, what? Because our visual memory sometimes is so strong,
right,
and overpowering that we're like, well, yeah, sure, that happened in the books, right?
Yeah.
But no, I remember the trip was really short into Rivendell.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. So and more. Yeah, there wasn't all this tension for sure too between the dwarves. Not as much. It wasn't as open and hostile. They're
right.
Really hostile actually.
Yeah.
Towards them, in this and so yeah, which is cool. I mean, it's part of the lore, and so that's what Peter Jackson wanted to kind of play up. And I think it's cool. I just think it's a really interesting scene that they show and they lay the map out there on this like crystal table and check into the runes and stuff. It's awesome. So because the other added scene here. Is the Gandalf scene, right? So when he is talking to Galadriel,
yes,
and everyone. So
I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Right?
Like, I like that. And people said that this is only to bring some characters back for the fans, but I like that addition. I really like how the what's the actress name? Galadriel's
Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does an amazing job, and I know her role was very short and stuff, but I don't know. I'm just the way they portray her in the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just always like, I don't know, in awe when I see her, and I think that's how it should be. That's how the book describes her when you first read the Fellowship and you read about her, and yeah. So
right.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So interesting fact. So first of all, so she was there. So she's in all three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Was on set for only 8 days of the production.
Okay.
So there's a little production kind of tidbit there. And also, I'll go ahead and say this because I guys haven't had a chance to tell a lot of y'all all the things, all the powers of Ez on the podcast and the lack thereof of powers. I don't know actors and actresses' names to save my life.
Good. We have something in common.
I mean, somebody asked me one time about the guy that played Elrond. Yeah, weaving fella, Hugo guy. I was like, I don't know what his name. You know, he's agent. What's his name? Smith or whatever in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So it's funny whenever people are like, yeah, well this actor. I'm like, sorry.
You know what? But that's okay because a lot of people probably can relate. Like,
oh, I'm sure they can.
It's okay. Your brain sometimes picks things. You probably can remember other things that are so irrelevant to other people, and you're like, brain, why do you remember that but not like,
well,
the names of the actors?
Yeah. See, I've always been so. Even in Star Wars, now the only reason I know more of their names is because I'm uber obsessed with Star Wars and have been since I was a little kid. But for the longest time, I didn't know what Luke Skywalker's name was, like who the actor was that played him. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so I just never follow up on that. I've always been, and people who follow any of my other projects or any of my other stuff, like even for the Harry Potter actors and stuff, I was like, Ron, what's his name? Rupert, right?
Yeah.
What's his last name? I don't know.
Like, Grint.
Yeah. See, I don't really know any of their like actors' names and stuff, and I don't really know. I don't even know like the names of songs. People were like, "Hey, remember that song?" Blah blah. Blah. And they like list the name of the song. I'm like, "You want to sing it to me? Like, you want to give me the first line there, bud?"
Right.
In key, by the way. I don't know. I don't. I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. Yeah. Really bad. Like with names of band. I remember the tune. I remember the story. I'm more focused on that. I can hum and sing a lot of the songs for you.
Yeah.
I remember the lyrics to the songs. I remember the plot points to the movie. But I'm so bad when it comes to that other stuff. It's just like in history too. I know a lot of the events and what happened, but I don't remember all the players and the characters.
I'm so terrible at years, remembering years when something, significant happened in history.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
What's funny is I know more significant historical fictional dates, sci-fi dates or fantasy sci-fi, historical dates than I do real world history. Isn't that terrible? God, that's terrible. Anyway, so just had to kind of throw that out there. That was funny.
Yeah.
So we actually have a cool fact. So Lane will be coming up again next episode. Christopher Lee is just some cool stuff on him that I had no idea about. And I actually just sort of saw it here in the X-ray, some stuff that he he mentioned about him. And we'll save that for next episode. Yes. So all right. So let's move on. They're talking about Radagast there being a foolish fellow and all that stuff. How dare you, Saruman? Don't talk about him like that.
Yeah.
It's like at least Radagast is still around. What happened to the blues? Nobody knows.
I know.
So anyways, that whole scene is really cool, and it's just a really awesome moment. And then there's just these great kind of landscape shots and everything that are really cool. The thing that I think is ridiculous, and Lane talked about this in the episode when we were doing the chapters, is the giants.
The colossal battle of the stone giants.
Like, is it real? That's crazy. Yeah. They were at the mercy of these stone giants' knees, and whether or not they collided at the right spot on the mountain, did their kneecap just happen to, they're like swinging. Yeah. They're on their kneecaps, like just moving around or whatever, and it's so crazy. I mean, my knee was aching when I was watching this. I could feel it, sweetie. Like, I've got a bad right knee, and it's like, oh, man, that hurt. Oh, that would have popped my kneecap right out of place.
Right.
But anyways, they're holding on there, and it's just a crazy scene.
Yeah, I guess like they wanted to include something to just, a reason why they had to go down the mountain, but I don't know.
Well, it's mentioned, like this big storm and stuff. Yeah,
somewhere in the distance.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's not really depicted necessarily. Or if it was shadowy, and was it real, was it not, all that kind of
stuff. More mysterious.
Yeah, this is like, well, no, that's actually happening. So.
And it's pretty, yeah.
And now in my head, it's like stuck there. Long. I'm like, oh, it did. No, this is what happened.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the problem sometimes. I get why people get like, oh, that didn't happen. Like now it's like in my head that it happened this way or that way, so.
Yeah, and the problem here is Gandalf is still talking to everyone else, to Galadriel, and...
Yeah, he was providing cover for him to get out of there.
And they're on their own, and, they have a pretty hard time, and we see a little bit of Thorin's hate against Bilbo again, and yeah.
Yeah.
So, but...
Yeah, he's been lost ever since he left home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... now this is ridiculous though. So they go in here. Bilbo's about to leave. He's actually thinking like, it's time for me to. I should have never run out my door. I need to go home.
I get him though.
It's touchy though. He's like, I want to go home. He's like, you're homesick, and he's like, I know what that feels like. He's like, you don't. You don't have a home.
Yep.
I was like, Bilbo. Yeah. And at the end, it all comes full circle, and it's all redeemed. They're all
right.
Patting each other on the back, and all is good. Now, I know I mentioned it in the first episode, but I just want to bring it up again because we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the Goblin King, corresponding?
Yeah, we're like that.
Are you pen pals? What's going on?
Yeah, no. Goblins. I don't know. I don't even know how that came up when we were watching it, but...
Literally, you're like, ooh, okay.
I was totally joking, and you were totally joking, but now it's a thing. Now people think I'm into goblins.
All right, if anything, for me, I'm just sort of like, all right, it's confident,
Yeah. It was kind of interesting how they set it all up, like the goblin town down there. It was cool, but then after a while it was a little too much for me.
So like the rhyming and everything was pretty cool. That was neat. Let me see, is there anything? I'm just looking for the x-ray here with the Goblin King, if there's anything extra on him. There's really not, actually. I don't have much here.
Like, did you like how they make the goblins look? Would imagine the Tolkien goblin?
I actually like.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That a lot of them their facial structure, they're mm-hmm. kind of like, I don't even know what you would call it, almost has that like it's different than the orcs.
Yeah,
it's slightly different.
Yeah, that's
you can
good.
Tell that they're
mm-hmm.
goblins, and yes. I thought that was really neat, so I'm just happy for that, because I was right. always confused, actually. Like, I was like, what is the difference?
I know, or, yeah, in the book, when you don't have a clear, I don't know, like clear,
I thought that at one point they interchanged them. I could be wrong, I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, because it's mentioned at the beginning when Old Took fights the Goblin King, knocks his head off and everything. So I was like,
okay, yeah.
Goblins, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so I think the part people like the most about this is the riddles.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like it very much. I love Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And I love Gollum. And I just don't know why. I'm just sort of like, maybe I mean more so in the book, I didn't like it as much.
Okay, yeah.
And that might seem like blasphemy to people, but I was just sort of like, I don't, okay. And I get that it's this ancient battle of riddles.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be this cool thing or whatever. But as a youngster reading it in sixth grade, I was sort of like, some of the riddles were cool, and some of it I was just like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I was like lost. So I was probably just too young when I was reading it, and I don't know. But I was,
Would you say there were too many riddles?
No, I mean,
there was like 9 or something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It was cool. It was neat. It was just, I remember kind of, and again, I was in sixth grade, and I've read it since numerous times, but I remember I'm just recalling my first read of it, and I don't know that I liked that part. I think I skipped a lot of it. It was also dark and weird and slimy and scary, and, you know, it just didn't feel good, and I kind of wanted to figure out what happened, so I just...
You skipped
all. And normally I'm not like that. Normally I read every little freaking detail, and I want to know everything that happens, but... For some reason, when I first read this, it wasn't my thing. He was such a different character. Gollum, right? Was so different and so weird that I was like... I mean, he definitely... I remember him. He had a big impression on my mind.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to think about him. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary, actually. He was more scary reading him than he was what we see Andy Serkis do, actually.
No, I think he's really scary. And I think, like... In the Lord of the Rings movies, he becomes really scary, obviously. He tries to kill people. And I mean... Yeah, it's like his character is somewhat you don't really want to think about it because he has two sides, right? And you feel sorry for Smeagol.
Yeah.
And you feel this just this disgust when you think about Gollum and how he just eats, I don't know, raw
fish and stuff.
Just this creature who's not really human or hobbit-like anymore, and it's just, yeah, that would, I don't know, it's, you can't really make up your mind, what do you feel about, how do you feel about Gollum, really? And that's the, I think that's exactly how Tolkien wanted it to be.
Yes, I think you're probably right. It's weird, because, you know, he did, really, this split personality is kind of more something we've seen in Lord of the Rings, and then in this, like, Andy Serkis, like, really, it kind of is played up more. It's not something I really remember being there necessarily in the reading of it. So that was cool. It was really cool to see this be a thing and to see the early kind of signs of that or whatever, which is awesome. Before I forget, remind me at the end of this episode, and if we forget and you're out there listening and you want to know the end of this, like, remind me to mention something about Lottie talking about Smeagol. A thought just dawned on me that I don't want to share right now. I want to save it for the end. And it's a connection to my father. And that's all I'll say.
What?
It's great. I guarantee if Lane's listening, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because, yeah, there was... Anyways, all right, moving on.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
Moving on.
I'll remind you.
Intriguing, right? People are like, oh, okay, I don't know if I want to stick around. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, it's...
I guess we can conclude that the acting is really good about this scene. And you just said...
fantastic.
You know, you didn't like it necessarily in the book. That's why it's not your favorite scene. That's okay. But I think, yeah, they did a pretty good job. And they stayed pretty close to the book. So I really enjoyed that scene. And they kind of did the whole, like, ring scene. It almost looked the same as the ring. You know, it's in the air and it falls back on his finger, on Bilbo's finger, just like it did with Frodo in the movie.
Right, that it has, like, will of its own or something.
I thought it was kind of cool. And the only thing that I wished was more closer to the book was, because in the book, I don't know why, in the book it caught me that Bilbo was brave enough to jump over Gollum, even though there was next to no space. Like, there was almost no hope he would make it without, like, being caught by Gollum.
Right.
And in the movie, it was like, there was plenty of space. Of
right.
Yeah, so.
That's a good point. Yeah. He's really, that whole moment is really built up in the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it happens different down by a door or a gateway. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. That's actually really... a good observation there, sweetie. It's also crazy because you actually read the books more recently than I did.
True.
The Hobbit. That's just which is crazy because some of those chapters that we read were over like a year ago, if not more, for Elaine and I, which is wild. So.
Yeah, especially the beginning of the book. Yes.
And I forget too. Like, at one point, Elaine had not read The Hobbit. When we started Lord of the Rings, I think he had said, he's like, I've never actually read it. Like, I've read bits of it. I've never finished it or whatever. And so, wow, it's just dawning on me.
Yeah. I think a lot of people happened because they just saw the Lord of the Rings movies. They were, you know, kind of excited to read the books because the movies were so good. But a lot of people never really bothered to read The Hobbit. Then.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think because the films and the Lord of the Rings is so cool. It's big epic. And what is this? It's a little kid's book, you know, whatever. I've always been happy that I started with that for like accelerated reader points in sixth grade. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So yeah, once he gets out of there and everything, so we're going to kind of skip ahead to that. I think the bit where we'll go back to kind of Gandalf running and saving
the day.
I mean, he pops in there and uses some pretty awesome magic. What did you think about that? Right? Yeah. You've got his shirt on right now.
You do too.
Well, yeah. Graybeards.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's the team, Graybeards. Lane got this for me.
Cool.
He also got that for me.
Cool. Yeah. Shout out to Lane.
That's my apparel guy. That's my apparel guy.
Yeah. No, Gandalf was pretty awesome. So.
Yeah. Oh, here's something interesting.
Let's hear it.
So this is called the Wilhelm Scream. So it was heard when the group are fighting their way out of the goblin town. One of the goblins knocks off the gangway and makes the sound. So it's called the Wilhelm Sound. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick.
Okay.
It's heard in Star Wars, and it's sort of become this thing that's used in a lot of different stuff. And I did not actually know it was in this.
Okay. Like a sound that a lot of movie makers use, or what do you mean?
Yeah, it's this effect or whatever. See if we're probably gonna get an ad here. Hold on a second, friends. You know how it goes. You pull up something on YouTube and
nowadays.
30-second ad. Oh, there it was. Okay, wow. Play again. Oh, It's so fast. I couldn't even. There we go. Did you hear that?
Let's play it again.
Let me turn it up. Let me turn it up all the way. Here we go. Uh-huh. Let me go back to the beginning. 3 seconds.
Okay.
Here we go. You hear that? Okay, so that's what? That's the Wilhelm scream, and it's in Star Wars. It's in almost every Star Wars movie, uh-huh. I think. Or I don't know if it's in a lot of them. And it's used in different things. I don't even know really the history on it. If you guys know more about it, send me a message. I've never really looked it up. I just know that it's a thing in films.
That is so interesting. Yeah. Is it a joke? You said you don't know the history behind it.
Yeah,
thinking out loud, is it a joke or is it?
Let me see. So at first, the scream is most likely recorded by Sheb Wooley. First in 1951.
What?
Florida Western distant drums during a scene in which an army soldier lets out a scream when he gets eaten by an alligator.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
So.
That's scary.
The Wilhelm scream is named after Private Wilhelm. Yeah, an actor in the 1953 charge at Feather River.
Okay.
So, yeah, he takes an arrow to the leg and lets out. So they're saying that he takes this in 1953. So maybe it's different. Maybe I was there in 1951. Who knows?
Yeah. Interesting, I don't even though. Know. And they used that in the Hobbit movie for one of the goblins.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, it's like an in joke sort of thing. In the Star Wars franchise, the Indiana Jones films, it's there, and so then they use it. Here it's been. I've heard it in different places too.
I bet you that's cool. Also a TikTok sound. You can use
it. It would be cool. It probably is, and we can. Yeah, great idea. Actually, I think I might go check into that. It's a good idea. Anyway, okay, cool. That's cool. See the X. I didn't even hear that. It says it's there, so we'll have to go back and kind of listen at some point. But
small detail.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see here. Yes. So they go outside, the big fight, right, with the wargs, and the eagles are going to come and everything, and you've got the big standoff with Azog, and you've got Thorin Oakenshield.
Oh, my goodness.
Who is now Oakenshieldless, you know, after this. Crazy. Well, I was like, what? I remember we were watching, I was like, what are you doing?
I know.
Get back.
I know.
Get back.
So weird. Yeah. And then, but I gotta say, like, it was cool when Bilbo saved him. Like, that felt like, let's go, Bilbo.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like,
yeah, it was cool.
I don't know. Yeah,
he steps up and saves Thorin, you know. He goes out there because Thorin's about to be, I mean, like, Azog's not even gonna get off of his white warg just to go over and kill him. Bilbo's like, I got this.
Yeah.
And out comes Sting, runs out there and full-on fights an orc.
Yeah. That was so brave, but I don't know. They had to make it more very dramatic.
Dramatic, and, you know. And as you're watching this, you're sort of like, are they going to kill Thorin? I mean, no. We know they're not, but I mean, could you imagine?
Right.
Somebody's probably cut it up to where they just went ahead and like did it, and they were like, the end. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's over.
Yep.
Film's done. So, yeah.
And I think... Mm-hmm. In the, like, when the company's rescued by the eagles, you know that Gandalf summoned, and in the book, correct me if I'm wrong, but the eagles were just, they just happened to be there. They were not exactly summoned by Gandalf. I'm sorry if I'm, again, like, I know it's been a while, and I am, my source of this is actually just a YouTube video that I watched recently about the movie. Where they said in the book the eagles just happened to be there and they recognized Gandalf.
Did.
Okay,
they
good.
Did.
Yeah,
yes, they did.
They recognized him, and in the movie it's more like, you know,
they owe him a favor.
He summoned him through that butterfly.
Yeah, through the moth. I mean, it's the same thing that so in the Lord of the Rings he does that.
Yes.
And so they wanted to do a callback to that, like Gandalf sort of using that thing again, a device to kind of bring the eagles to kind of signal that.
Yeah.
But no, they were monitoring things, actually. That's true. In the books, they were monitoring stuff, and they had followed the wargs, and they knew they were in distress, and then the fire and everything. So they definitely...
The eagles are... They just make me feel good.
Right?
I know Bilbo wasn't a fan of flying. I get that.
Yeah.
But they just... They're so cool. And I don't know. I would love to just sit on an eagle's back and travel with them. And because they're so giant, you feel like almost like safe enough. And even if they drop you, they will, I don't know, they're fast enough to catch you again. I don't know. Just
right.
I would feel safe traveling with them. That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's real. It's no, it, they do make you, especially in this, like they're so cool. And they're really, 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 really neat. Hold on. I went back up here. I'm looking for something because Gandalf was counting all of the dwarves. You know, he's counting them. That makes 13. And he's wondering, where's Bilbo? Where's our hobbit? I'm just checking the dialogue here for Lane. So that remember we told him about the our theory with Belladonna.
Yeah.
So, right?
He thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's asking, where did you last see him? I think he slipped away. Mm-hmm. I just want to see if he says my boy. Let me see here.
Oh.
Let's see. Tell me what happened. Right. Okay. Hold on a second here, friends. This is the extended, so everything takes a little bit longer. All right. He pulls off the ring, though. Right. And so they're all talking about like he's he's long gone. Let's just see here. He's got still got the ring. He's deciding whether or not to kind of, hey, do I reveal myself or do I not?
That's before the eagles come and all those.
Yeah. I just wanted to back up first.
Okay,
so
just
for a hot second. Cause this is where, let's see what Gandalf says here. Bilbo Baggins. Yeah. I've never been so glad to see anyone in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what he didn't say my boy. I think I threw that in there as a little extra when I was talking to Lane. Darn it. Gosh, I was hoping he would. If he just slipped that one thing, we'd have a film theory confirmed, you know? We would have had a film theory confirmed. But he says just Bilbo Baggins. I've never been so glad to see anyone in my life. Yeah. So in case you guys missed that, in the last episode we talked about Belladonna Took and Gandalf having a thing.
Being very close.
Total fan film related theory we came up with, so. Okay. But yeah, that's pretty much how this kind of, you know, the big fight happens. The pine cones to the rescue. Those things are flammable, by the way. We actually shout out to another YouTube content creator, the Cottage Fairy, who collects pine cones. And Gandalf uses pine cones, right?
Yes.
Do you think she used it? I mean, in case of an emergency and she was attacked by
she's a fairy. She is a fairy and lives in the mountain valley. I think she knows how to do that. Pretty sure.
She could probably just like I'm telling you, she probably speaks like a fire.
Yeah. She would kindly ask the fire to ignite for her safety and rescue.
Just to protect
but
or whatever.
But she would always make sure that there's, you know, just rained and there's no bushfire. No.
Right. There's no possibility of a forest fire. It's very, very important to her. By the way, we've like invited her on the show because we're such fans.
I love her so much.
She's so great. So I didn't plan on doing this, but remember we just watched the episode where she had all the pine cones and she collected them for like fire starters and stuff.
Yes.
So they're great fire starters. Pine cones are great. Gandalf shows us that here. He uses them to kind of defend the group. It's a last resort thing, but it made me think of her.
Yeah.
And at some point, I wanted to do a pitch for her anyways, because I kind of feel like when you encounter someone who is a positive influence and a really, I don't know, just radiates positive energy, I like sharing that energy. And I like sharing it personally. You know, you and I like that. That's sort of what our home is full of. And when we find people like that, we want to just like, okay, let's surround ourselves with those people.
Honestly, yes.
Right? I mean, it's such a good feeling. So if you need more of that calming, positive, just really connection to nature, go check. A lot of you probably actually already know her. She has almost a million followers.
She has a lot of followers, on YouTube.
On YouTube,
And all she does, like, not all she does, I don't want to, like, make it seem like it's not much or anything. It's a lot of work to make shots and, you know, place the camera somewhere, go down, you know, a road or something and come back and pick it back up. She does really amazing shots of nature, of her valley where she lives, and her, it's a good combination of that and her home. She has a little bunny rabbit, dogs, and a garden, and she does all kinds of arts and
it's
crafts.
It's like visual ASMR. Good, you know.
It's just so cool. Such a good combination. Yeah. And then she talks about different things in the
what really the reason we, you know, the other day we're watching, and she's like reading The Hobbit, and I'm like, let's go.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, you're, you know, it's kind of like your kind of people. So we like on social media, I follow the hashtags and a lot of you guys as well for things like fantasy, Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, could be Star Wars, Harry Potter, you know, all this stuff, right?
Yes.
And when you come across somebody like that, yeah, we want to like their stuff and we want to like connect with those people. And that's this why I enjoy going to movies or convention centers or like Universal Studios or wherever it is, something that kind of has your people there.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
So go check her out. And if you're into that kind of stuff too, and you have something that you think is kind of embodies that sort of positive energy and whatever, let us know. Cause we want to be behind, that stuff for sure.
Yeah,
and we'll give you a shout out here.
Honestly, that's one of the positive things about social media. I know we have to be conscious of how we use it, how often we use it, and how we spend our time with it. But it gives us nowadays the chance to really surround us by, you know, the people that will add more to our comfort and happiness instead of take away from it. Even though, you know, in our direct, like, the people that directly surround us physically,
right,
there might not be too many of them among them. And that's no one's fault, really. It can be sometimes you live somewhere where it's just either not a lot of people or it's just you're just not surrounded by the right spirits, but you can't afford living somewhere else, or your, I don't know, work situation kind of forces you to live there, whatever it is. But you still have the choice now to surround yourselves by spirits that kind of put out the same energy you have or you are looking for.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
and
point.
And I think that is a pretty positive thing because we always talk about it. You are heavily influenced by the people you spend your time with.
Yeah, and it's like this, when I'm going to work, so I listen to audiobooks, I listen to podcasts, I listen to motivational videos and things like that. Those are choices. I mean, I can go find those things directly and let them be a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of folks listen to our podcast, and I appreciate everyone who does that. I want you guys to know, Ez started off, I mean, years ago, Lane as well, we were referencing podcasts last night, like that we like and that we enjoy, because we're consumers. That's why we want to, like, if you guys have something or whether it be an Etsy page, a project, there are guys over on the our Facebook page who were, hey, we made a podcast. We wanted to pitch this out here. We've been listening to Lane and Ez for years, and we wanted to let you guys know we're also making one too.
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing is there's always room for more creators and more good energy and more positive spirits and stuff.
Yes.
And it just, I always feel like anytime somebody attempts to do that or let their voice be heard, or, you know, a lot of times too, and what the reason we like the Cottage Fairy is because your silence can also be a good thing. People think that sometimes it's like, I don't know, like that you have to be loud, you have to talk, you have to whatever.
Right.
Like, you don't need to all the time. And you can just be, you can influence in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And I just think it's cool.
Me too.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just out here rooting for people. I'm always just wanting, you know, I don't know, just a kind word, helping people across the street, whatever it might be. It could be anything. Yeah. And just, I'm all about it. So, but you're right though. Yeah. We can kind of be more intentional about what influences and what people and things. We were talking about this yesterday with Lane and Sarah too. And I think about it with my niece and like school, kids that she's around, things she's hearing, all
right,
that kind of stuff and stuff. So as much as we can, I mean, you can't control everything, right? I mean, I can't control, you know, I teach high schoolers. I mean, let's say they always come in with the best attitude, and sometimes they're pretty blunt. You know, they're like, "Mr. Kirk, why are you wearing the chef pants again?" Well, I don't know. Are they not? Whatever. I mean, they feel comfortable, guys. Don't make fun of Mr. Kirk. No, I'm kidding. My kids are great, but the whole point is, you just don't really, you know, you never know, and So Bilbo's presence too in this company is also one that I think a lot of times when you read it and stuff, yeah, he and Thorin have some beef and they're on this quest and does he really fit or whatever. He had such another level to just reminding us about home, friendship, companionship, and just, I don't know, just so many things. I can't even articulate very well, but that he adds to this company and to this crew. And it's like, that's what Lane and I talk about with the Second Age show. It's like, what is going to be the thing that's in that show that really does that for us, you know? And it's cool to hear that, you know, according to the people who've seen it, We're going to have that kind of stuff. So
yeah. Now that you mention it, just real quick, I want to go back to that scene because it reminded me of that where Bilbo says to Thorin, like where he had the choice. Do I keep being invisible and just run off and go home?
Yes, he did have the choice.
Or do I join back in with everyone and go on that, you know, continue going on that journey? And he decides to do that. And he says, because, you know, like, I love my home so much, and that's why I want you, like, I want to help you find your own, or, like, you know, take back your own home and have that feeling again.
Yeah. on a way smaller scale, you know, than that, like, sometimes we were talking at the beginning of the show, like, priorities and you know, trying to get things done. I run podcasts, we make content, we try to put positive energy out there, educational stuff, entertainment, whatever it might be. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, but then to hear people say like, hey, we really enjoy that, or we like it, or whatever. And I know it's been, and I thank Lottie so much for just helping me kind of continue to do that and be able to keep spreading that. And we dedicate a lot of our time. You even, whether it's me talking to Lane or talking to Matt or talking to myself.
I invest a lot of time talking to myself.
I mean, how many times are you upstairs and you hear me like recording something on my own? You're like, he's down there doing it again. He's talking to himself. But I choose to be like, in a very small way, very, 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 very small way, to be like Bilbo and say, no, I want to give those guys something. And you do too. And I think a lot of people do that. They say, like, even the work meeting that you guys are going to, you're in, I don't know if this is Monday, if this came out on a Monday or Tuesday, but you guys know you're going to go into a work meeting and you know there's some negative folk in there. And God, just go in, and if you can, be positive as much as you can, try and just and help those people feel better and good about where they're going.
So. I love that, sweetie. I love that, because sometimes that's your role. It's okay not to be the first one who makes the best, you know, who has the best idea to solve a problem all the time. That's okay. We don't have to be that person all the time. What if we just spend, you know, if we feel like, yeah, that's my role, spend more time on just making other people feel good. 'Cause every time we encounter, like, a person who's being super nice, who's like just working as a cashier or as a janitor, or is just like greeting you, happy about life and being here, it just, like, if I encounter people like that, it just makes my entire day so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing.
So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. You look like you needed a bathroom break. Are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
Do you need one?
No, I was just like, sorry, that was a, you know, sometimes you get that.
I
was like,
no, oh. I guess I'm just sweaty because it's warm today.
Oh, no, no, just, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, no, no. Let's great. Push through. Okay. Thank you.
You look great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, honestly, we're kind of at the end. I mean, that was really the Eagle Scum. It's all great. There's a continuity issue, by the way. Some fun things, a little goof to kind of note, that Thorin's sword is nowhere near him when the Eagle picks him up. But once he is, you know, in safety, the sword is right there.
Akio's sword,
and it's there. So one of those last little kind of continuity goofs that I thought was kind of funny. Beautiful shot of them flying to safety and, you know, hugging Bilbo.
Right,
and everything.
That was heartwarming.
It was good.
Admitting Bilbo's awesome.
Right, we're back. We're back. Yeah. So, all right, cool. That I think, yeah, that is it for our review there, our part two review of An Unexpected Journey. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. So again, just a reminder for folks, we are going to be back on May 21st with the Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
We will record that. We have some special guests coming in for that. And also later this summer too, I just talked to a couple of friends and we might have some folks kind of joining us in the summer. We'll have some more time to do more with those episodes. And as we have time, we're going to be weaving in more of your guys' Tolkien stories later on and different stuff like that. We'll be getting to all those things. And honestly, just so you guys know, I can't thank you guys enough just for we're excited for the show and we want to watch these movies, have some fun, meet some new friends. If you're into that and you want to hang out with Lottie and I, it's again, just breakfast, bring your own breakfast kind of thing.
Bring your breakfast, bring your second breakfast, bring all the food
you have. We had 11 D's, my God. I mean, these hours are like three, these movies are hours long. They're 3 hours long and, or more. And so we're just trying to have fun and hang out. And it's cool to see folks pop in there and say hi. And by the way, if you pop in on Instagram, like, sit, if you're comfortable with it, like, send me your name. You know the handles out mm-hmm. there? First of all, my handle is at womprat_2m. No one would have a freaking clue what my name is. You know what I mean? Like, I just do it. It was an old Xbox handle thing I had back in the day, and I made it with my buddy Tom, and it just stuck, and, you know, I don't know. Womp rats are no bigger than 2 meters. He used to bullseye womp rats. Luke Skywalker. Yeah, whatever. That's where it came from. So anyways, just say, hey, put your name in there and come chat with us. We'd love to hang out with you. And we're also going to be streaming it on YouTube. I think we had it on YouTube. We had it on Twitter. We had it on Facebook. Yeah. And then on our phone, we kind of do an Instagram thing too.
And just to be clear again, we're streaming our faces. We're not streaming the movie because we can't do that. You know, do too.
Just to hang out. So
right. Yeah.
More so I'm streaming Lottie's face. You know, you guys, me, I'm just... Yeah. Just over here doing my thing, you know. No, it's fun. And it is just kind of, I don't know, just a way to hang out. It's not, it's just more like we can chat with you guys. We can talk. Yeah. You guys can leave us a comment or whatever. We do have a link, and I think some of our special guests who might be popping in, I might just send them a link, and they might pop in and chat with Lottie and I. So on the YouTube. So,
do I know about the special guest?
Some of them are coming in the summer, and then we might have one or two. It just depends on availability. You know, so it's really informal. So it's sort of like if you can make it, you can make it. Cool. If not, we're recording episodes afterwards anyway. So you guys kind of get a taste of what we thought during the watch. But it's fun because really Amanda helped us develop the whole.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Amanda.
Bilbo.
Theory of a Bilbo.
Yeah.
Bilbo?
Yeah, Bilbo and Gandalf.
Being son.
Yeah. Bilbo being son. The son of Gandalf. So Bilbo Gandalf Baggins. There we go.
Oh.
That's his middle name. We finally figured it out.
The Gray.
The Bilbo the Gray Baggins.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, okay. Woo! All right, friends. There we go. Right on cue. I was going to mention something about my father. He's calling us right now.
Okay.
While we're recording, and I'm on. It just brings up what I was going to mention at the end.
Yeah. Noted that down. Yeah.
Oh, people. Yeah. If you stuck around, you're going to hear this. Okay. Let me take a quick call from my dad though, real quick. Hey, what's up?
Not much. What are you doing?
Well, just recording live on the podcast. You know.
Oh.
Did you get that field mode? Good.
Got my yard mode.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll let you go then.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you. We'll call you sometime. We'll stop over. I still got to finish Oak Island over there at your house.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll see you, Dad.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. And that was a little bit from my father. Okay. On the podcast. We're going to do a little editing there. You guys will hear a bit and a piece of that conversation, a lot about mowing and Fellowship of the Mow.
Let's go.
I just mention I got to mow in the new mower today. You saw it, sweetie.
Oh yeah, I love when you mow. You just
I wasn't in my real good setup. I didn't have my like glasses on. I wasn't really. I was just like, I got nailed in the eye with I don't know, a bee or something just shot and boom. Thankfully I have lightning like eyelid reflexes. Okay, lightning fast. And I saw this sucker coming, and I just boom, just one-eyed it, you know? Because you can't, I couldn't close both eyes because this thing was real touchy, and you got to keep a real firm handle on these, you know, handles and keep a straight line, all right, you know? So, it is the Fellowship of, I think I just said Fellowship of the Mo today, hashtag Fellowship of the Mo, or hashtag The Fellowship of the Mow is, I think, what it should be. I probably did it wrong today. But anyway, I've done it both ways, so whatever. If you guys ever do that, you know, I search that hashtag from time to time. So if you guys are out there mowing.
Is that your hashtag now?
I don't know. I'm pretty darn sure I created that. So,
that's
you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to go check. I normally post on Instagram.
Show
that,
us how you mow your yard, you know, if you want to join in to the Fellowship of the Mow. Yeah.
Show off your mower. I mean... We just bought a new one. I'm not a fan of this new one, but I'm waiting to get the old, you know, big bad boy back, you know? So anyway. All right. So yeah. But you know, I wanted to mention too, and we might have to cut this out. I'm not so sure how this is going to go. So I'm just going to preface this with hey, we may have to cut this out.
No.
Sweetie.
Only one cut per episode.
You remember what I told you my dad said, the Schreier? Right, the Schreier.
Yeah.
I am so... I knew that if Lane were listening to this episode,
yeah,
when you said, Schmeagel, I was like, if it were me, had that have been me, I know for a fact he would have been like Frank Kirk right there. So, I mean, just...
Hey.
One of those, welcome to the family, you know.
Don't make fun.
I'm not making fun. Look at her. She's typing in the doc. Cut this whole thing out right now.
That's not true.
I'm just teasing. No, honestly, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I am, you know, like, I don't always, I can't pronounce all the words right. I can't spell the names right and everything. Yeah. So it's wild.
If it's Smeagol or Smeagol,
you just slightly Schmeagol. Said it fast, and it sounded like you added that ch in there.
Yeah,
you know,
because
yeah,
with German the ch, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounded like you said it real fast and tried to cover it up for a hot second. And I was like, oh, I caught you.
Never do that.
I caught you. It was cute.
Oh my gosh, actually. Have you ever noticed? I'm sorry, this is so much like side story stuff.
It's okay.
But have you ever noticed when I say now? You probably will, but. In the car when I sing, and I'm not sure if I really know all the lyrics. I just turn, like, I sing along, but I turn my head to the window instead of, like, to the right instead of to the left.
Do you really?
Yes, I'm like, you know, if I'm, like, I don't know.
I haven't noticed that. Like, Ed Sheeran songs normally.
Most Ed Sheeran songs, I'm pretty confident on.
Can you hit us with an Ed Sheeran song right now? What's your favorite one?
Oh, my gosh, my favorite one. So, I really enjoyed the first album the most, I think.
What's that one that you can do the rap to?
Oh my gosh, I can't.
Is that appropriate? I bet it's not.
Not all of it, I guess. It's not. No. Yeah. But
can't believe you.
It's hang on.
Dun, dun.
You need me, but I don't need you.
Oh yeah.
You need me, I don't need you. Yeah.
Yeah. You need me, but I don't need you, blah 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 blah. Something like that, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, sweetie, you know I don't like to sing in front of people.
I was kidding. That's why I sang it. Sorry. How did we get on that whole thing?
Playing a song in the car. I turn away because I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know the lyrics. And I was trying to cover up Schmeagel.
Schmeagel.
Sorry. Yeah.
Get no, that's my fault. People are going to think I'm mean for saying that.
No.
But, you know.
No.
Maybe I am. It's
just... yeah, and maybe you and Lane, you don't even like each other.
We don't. I know. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. I just did this whole thing where I'm like, hey, if you're positive and you want to hang out, that guy's kind of mean. Boy, that's kind of mean to a lot of each other. You know, the other thing I want to mention too, and I think I've mentioned it like 3 episodes, I'm just covering for myself. If you ever hear me, can I say this? If
yeah.
I probably have already said it and don't remember.
Oh, say it.
If I ever, you know, talk over Lottie a little bit sometimes. Can I tell people why?
Yeah, please do.
Oh, okay. Please. Because you guys know, like, so English is not her first language. Hello, people. What? Excuse me? Yeah. Sprechen's die Deutsch? Was that good?
Yeah.
I was trying to do a little voice, too. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, she speaks, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I'm looking for words, and even if, honestly...
It slips into Dinglish a little bit.
Let's go.
A little Dinglish here and there.
Because you know? Deutsch and English.
Right.
English, yeah.
Yeah. That's what they call it.
Anyway. Yeah. No. I'm glad when you cover a lot of it, because sometimes I get, you know, a little
You're searching
nervous.
For a word.
Yeah.
And that's what all it is you're trying to find a word, and I can tell, or I'm not sure if you are, and so I'm like... I got this and I pop in there and so I yeah. think some folks I feel like I have to say this because it was like it's just a thing because I want people to know how much I love you and then I want to hear you talk all the time and I wish it was just you talking and I want to hear all your thoughts. I'm a listener at heart. I'm a listener. And so it's funny because like I'm in here and people are like, dang, Ez, like, let her get a word in, man. But it's like when we were at the Orlando airport. And I told you, I had a premonition. I said, so at some point in time, if I'm always ordering first, somebody's going to say, hey, man, why don't you let your lady order first, huh? And sure enough, and the reason I don't let you order, that sounds terrible, but like the reason I go first.
So I have more time to think about what I want. I think that's so nice of you.
Right? Because I typically know right what I want. Look at the menu. I got it. I scanned it. And I'm good. I'm letting you kind of. Take your time and look and hear the questions he's going to ask and all that kind of stuff. It was just so funny. And I'd said that, and this guy was just like, he got on me, he was kind of kidding, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But I was like, here we go. I'm telling you, you know, this is the way it goes, you know, when you date, you know, when you're with somebody from Germany.
Yeah.
You know, international relationship. Anyway.
You're doing great.
Okay, cool. Trying.
Thank you.
All right. Well, friends, okay, sorry, a lot of jibber jabber there at the end. Just wanted to mention, you guys are going to hear from Lane and Sarah next episode. You're going to hear from us. We're going to have a fun hangout. Hope you guys will swing in there and join it. If you're late, it's cool. If you want to pop in, pop out, it doesn't matter. We're there for like 4, 5, 6 hours. I'm not even sure. I get kind of dizzy by the end. So, yeah, come hang out there this Saturday. And then, again, if you're hitting this much later, still, come follow us. Come give us a shout-out. Send us a message. You can send me one at womprat_2m. You can hit Lottie up at Charlotte Sue. And you can hit us up at Fleur and Bill. Okay? So you can hit us up on those accounts. Send us a message. And we do run a little Shell Cottage Radio podcast. Got an episode coming for you soon. Amanda, don't worry. It's coming soon. And yeah, you know, we're working on that. Working on other things. I have Lottie doing a Rebels rewatch for my Hyperspace Hangout podcast. God bless her. Like, literally, my Padawan learner.
Yeah.
Just learning away. Yeah, she's actually enjoying that. We actually have a lot of fun with that.
Little
project. It's cool. So it's probably I'm having more fun because I'm getting to share Star Wars.
No. With my wife. Love to learn about all of that.
Yeah.
So.
It's cool.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Hey, don't forget, you can send Lane and Sarah something if you would like over at The Shire. Address it to The Shire, P.O. Box, or Lane and Sarah. P.O. Box 96, Amanda 043102. And yeah, follow us at Uptalkin' Tolkien over there. And yeah, follow social media. Stay up to date with all the updates, I guess, right? So, and if you are Amazon Studios or Loader on Prime or whatever, and you're doing, you know, anything cool in the future, and you want to talk to this little hobbit, like, I'd love to talk, you know? I feel, you know what I mean? Because all those creators got to go, and I was like, oh, man, that sounds so cool. Aww. Actually, the other day, if you guys get on Twitter, I'm not on Twitter a lot, but on Twitter Spaces, there's a really big Tolkien community there.
Okay.
And you can just, you can create a space, like it's an open public thing, and you could just go in. It's almost like a live on YouTube, but it's like a live on Twitter, and it's just audio only. And these guys go in there and they're just bringing in like different creators when the images dropped. I learned a lot of stuff from them.
Okay.
So there's really, really good content creators out there in Tolkien, and a lot of them just aren't necessarily maybe on a podcast. They might be on a YouTube channel or something else. So feel free to share those. Honestly, share them with me because I like to follow those types of projects and get, you know, updates on the news. I don't break the news. We just like to kind of give our 2 cents on it and what we think and have fun with you guys there. So sorry if you were watching the YouTube version. I just picked out a bunch of goop in my eye. That's pretty messed up.
Well, you're just a normal human being.
Okay, so guess so. Anyway.
No, you're actually the best. Sorry.
You're the best. It takes the best to know the best, okay? All right. All right, friends. Hey, well, with that, we want to thank you for going on an adventure with us. Next time, we'll be diving into the desolation of Smaug. You want to read that part for me in the blue there?
Is going on.
That's what I have to read all the time. This is what Lane conjured up.
Try if Luke or Podlast, don't forget to subscribe. Lucas, rot you review. Life a cormute. Cert is I.
That's you're reading it off the script. That's good.
Sorry,
wow, I never even noticed that was there.
What is going on?
Wow, Lane, you got her. I didn't think that was gonna work because she's seen the doc before, but it, like, Lane totally got her on that one. I put in the old the old Lane lingo there for you.
Oh,
so
my
anyway, goodness. she's making a comment. Please, she's like, I'm watching her in the doc. She's like, should we cut this out? Anyways, friends. Okay, hey, thanks for joining us and for hanging out. We love you guys and we hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying your day out there. Spread some positivity to one another. We're going to see you guys here in about a week. Maybe we'll see you this weekend. And as always, remember that Bilbo
knows that he knows.
That was the longest nose. It's almost like Pinocchio. My dad would call him. Oh, gosh. All right.
Love you guys.
Love you. We'll be right back.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.